The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, a Casino Queen sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
A lot here for you to weigh in on at 332-3776, whether you took great joy in the Packers losing. More of the conversation is geared towards the Packers not letting Aaron Rodgers a try on fourth down with the way he's playing, with the play caller LaFleur is himself, with it still being a touchdown game. Even if you kick the field goal, you still need a touchdown to win that game. You just are not putting the two-point conversion in play. I want to play you a couple of things, and I want to bring up some leftovers that we have here. This is Matt LaFleur after yesterday's game addressing the situation on why they elected to kick the field goal.
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards. And knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2 point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had four timeouts with the 2 minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but, you know, we got called for the PI. And it didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. But we're always going to be process-driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, we felt like it was the right decision to do.
And that's what I've always killed pace about. Like, I feel like the process was flawed to begin with. It failed the common sense test. Whether it passed the analytics test, maybe, it failed the common sense test. And if it's an 11-point game, we all know how the math works, where you need the two scores, you need the ball back no matter what, you need a stop. So maybe you get the field goal first, and then you get the touchdown second. Doesn't matter which order, teams are always willing to take the three in that situation. This is a one-score game reduced to, guess what, a one-score game where it's not a field goal and you need a touchdown, and that's why I feel that they totally choked in that situation.
100%. You cannot kick that field goal. Even if you feel like you have four timeouts, you can't do it. And we just talked about the, I don't know if it's a true catch 22 or anything, but the fact that Aaron Rodgers has earned the ability to go over and tell his coach, no, we're going for it. That exists, but it's not that right, or that earned privilege, I guess, doesn't outweigh taking a timeout in that instance. You can't spend that kind of capital just to have the discussion where the head coach still reserves the right to kick the field goal if he wants to. And that puts Rodgers in a pretty tough bind, just being the guy out there making throws and being a Hall of Famer.
Ray just called in. He's a Packer fan, and he wants to weigh in on the decision. Ray, you're on. Connor McKnight's in for Waddle today, and Waddle and Sylvie. What's on your mind, Ray?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to weigh in on the field goal attempt. You know, I understand the flack. But if you think about it, it worked. They shut him down after the field goal. They got him to third down. Then the pass interference call happened. You know, if that doesn't happen, Rodgers gets the ball back with a minute 40 left and a timeout going for a game-winning drive at home at Lambeau. You know, so that's just the kind of a twist on it that I saw, to where, you know, that flag wasn't around all game. And then all of a sudden, you know, here it is at the end.
He pulled his jersey. He pulled his jersey twice. He was pulling his jersey. That's the definition of a penalty.
Right. No, I understand. So it would be a hold, not PI. But either way, on that same picture you can see all over the internet, you know, Rashawn Gary is rushing the passer and he's getting bear hugged from behind. I mean, he's getting held too. So, I mean, that should have offset.
Right. But, Ray, that goes into the math. That goes into the decision point for Matt LaFleur. Like, it exists, the potential exists to get a PI or to get a defensive holding, and it's you can't just take that drive and go, well, if we didn't commit the foul, then we would have gotten the ball back. You're taking that chance every time. And with the way that they picked on Kevin King over and over and over again all game long, you've got to understand that you're allowing your defense to get picked on at the weakest point, King, or the second weakest point, which has been the run defense all season long. All of this against the equation of use Aaron Rodgers. Use Aaron Rodgers. That's what it comes down to.
Well, here, my argument on that is that, you know, like LaFleur said, they had three chances from the eight. They didn't gain a single yard. So, I mean, I get that. And then Brady threw three interceptions. It should have been four. Will Redmond had one go right through his hands before the Scotty Miller touchdown. And, yeah, I mean, Kevin King was brutal. I think I saw he had like when he was targeted, it was like a 140 passer rating against him. He had a rough go at it for sure.
Yeah,
but,
it's not a good
So, you know, that's just kind of where my head's at. Obviously, it was very demoralizing after seeing that all, but, you know, I just try to think of ways to look at it, you know, to kind of see what he was thinking. So,
Ray, thanks. And I look at it this way, that you control your own destiny with Aaron Rodgers and with you as a play caller. And I know the defense controls some destiny. But again, when you elect to give the ball to Brady, like we mentioned, now it's in Brady's hands. He controls his own destiny. You're putting it in the officials' hands. They control your destiny now. You didn't have to do that. You controlled your own destiny with one more play. You have Aaron Rodgers for one play. This is everything that we grew up talking about as kids. Fourth down, game's on the line, you have the football. It's not you, though, now. Instead, it's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game at Lambeau Field with one of his greatest weapons of all time in Devontae Adams. Go. You know, and then you elected to put the destiny in the referee's hands, into Tom Brady's hands. And that, to me, is inexcusable. Dean on 294, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dean?
Hey, you know, I think the reason why Matt LaFleur turned into Guy LaFleur is he's been literally coaching against the stupid Bears offense all season now. Because you know and I know in that situation, if the Bears had the ball, they would have had three straight run plays. Timeout, timeout, timeout. They would have had plenty of time to get the ball back into Rodgers' hands. Or maybe Nagy would have done the tight end jet sweep, which worked in practice, but obviously doesn't work in the game. But I think that was exactly what LaFleur was thinking. He's been dealing with Bears stupidity all year round, knowing that the Bears would have run three straight plays in that scenario. Hats off to Arians, because what does he do? Play action on first down, and he throws a pass for about, what, 6-7 yards to make a makeable first down. Bears would have never have done that.
It's a brilliant call, Dean. Thank you.
I appreciate it. That's great. Also, would turning into Guy LaFleur be that bad? Like, Sylvie, if you woke up tomorrow morning and you were a Hockey Hall of Famer, Guy LaFleur, who still looks pretty good at age 70.
I think there are worse LaFleurs you can turn into.
Sure, of course there are. Well, that's not a bad fate. Guy LaFleur, good life.
I think Guy is probably higher than Matt LaFleur still.
Absolutely.
Pacala, how do you feel about it?
I'd rather be Guy LaFleur than Matt LaFleur. That's just me. Age aside, I mean, one's got a longer shelf life right now.
You don't think Guy LaFleur lives every day like he's 35?
I mean, he might.
How old is Guy LaFleur now?
Guy LaFleur turned 70 in September.
Oh, yeah. He's still living like he's a young man.
Guy looks like he's 50. Are you kidding? Guy LaFleur.
That's so great. 332-3776. Let's go to Richard and Wilmette. Hey, Richard, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Sylvia, you doing well?
I feel great, Richard. Thanks for asking.
Good to you. Listen, I'm enjoying a cocktail here, but I got one question and one observation. And I know Rodgers has been upset for a number of seasons with them having drafted a quarterback. But doesn't an organization have to have a quarterback in development? I still don't understand why he's upset. He could be a mentor to this young guy and think of the future. He's still got plenty of years to play for the Packers if he wants to, so I don't know why he's upset. And then my observation is, at least on TV, it looked like he had a wide-open shot to run into the end zone to get that touchdown. He would have at least, if not getting a touchdown, would have probably gotten on the goal line. And what was he, afraid to take a hit? I mean, he does commercials for an insurance company. He's covered insurance-wise.
The Rodgers rate, yeah. Richard, look, I don't think it's necessarily that he's pissed about a developmental quarterback. He's pissed that they didn't use a first-round pick to improve a 13-3 team that got beat in the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. And he's got the hodgepodge of number two receivers. He could help get some help. And that's a first-round pick on a team that's ready to win now.
How many passes St. Brown dropped yesterday? How many routes he misrun? I mean, it's like, it's like two drops and three bad routes, right? You get one guy at the top of that draft, maybe a little bit better off running routes, understanding what they're trying to do, a little more talent. Rodgers is a lot happier.
Right, and Davante Adams, is you can't bracket him as much.
Oh, God,
or
yeah.
You make him pay. And look, here's something that what does Rodgers do best? I want to quiz you guys. Other than playing football and throwing the football, what does Rodgers do best in his life? When you think about Aaron Rodgers' life, what do we know about Aaron Rodgers that he's not scared to do?
Cut off people close to him.
Have Thanksgiving alone?
No, you are right, Connor.
Oh,
you are right. You are right. Aaron Rodgers is not scared to break up with you. Aaron Rodgers doesn't care if you're Olivia Munn. He doesn't care if you're Danica Patrick. He doesn't care if you're his brother. He doesn't care if you're his parents. Aaron Rodgers doesn't care or worry about breaking up with you. Aaron Rodgers will break up with the Packers. And that's what Packer fans should be most worried about. You're absolutely right, Connor.
I mean,
I was thinking about it. Like, there are guys who are scared to live by themselves. That's me. I need a girlfriend. All my life, when I broke up, all the bad relationships, I wanted them back because all of a sudden I was sitting there alone and I would lay in my bed and I would be holding my blanket and I would be in the fetal position. What am I going to do? I'm single again. How can I live my life? Aaron Rodgers ain't that dude. Aaron Rodgers loves to break up with you. He doesn't care about your drama. He's going to be happy whoever he ends up with. And that's the same thing with the Green Bay Packers.
There, I think you are 100% right. I also think there are some things that we should talk about, you and I, about past life experiences and how to move along, you know?
Connor, when I was 36, how old are you? How old are you?
I am 35, 36 in, God, what is it? 36 by the All-Star break.
See, I'm 36, 37, 38, and I'm still not married. I'm still not engaged. And all my married friends, you know, all of a sudden they're married, they got their stuff. Sylvie's not on the phone list anymore.
I feel
all
that.
Of a sudden the I phone calls that. Don't come. No, you know what? We got our kids. No, we only go out couples only. You don't have someone to bring with you. We can't hang out with you anymore.
Try doing now, all of sudden, that during a pandemic. It is a blast. It's just God, yeah. The social calendar. It's just, if my God.
So then I got scared. Yeah, I can't be like Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers doesn't care. Rodgers doesn't care how famous you are. Rodgers doesn't care if it is blood. Rodgers is like, all right, there's something better around the corner for me.
You don't think he can get LaFleur out, do you?
I don't think he'd want to. Do you? It's a good talking point next. I still think he understands that LaFleur brought him better stuff than what they've got going on in Dallas and what he used to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Let's discuss that coming up next. 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2-6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle's on vacation today. Connor McKnight in his place. 332-3776. We're discussing a lot about not going forward on fourth down for the Packers, where that figures into some of the worst decision making in football recently. And then Connor, you were bringing up before the break about what do you want? I almost said Matt Patricia. What do you want, Matt LaFleur out?
Well, the answer to wanting Matt Patricia is absolutely. Yeah, you
yes,
want him
right.
out ASAP.
Always.
He and the pencil he wrote in on, you're done with that.
That's a good point.
But LaFleur, I wonder, because, you know, Schefter is, and Greeny talked about this on the show from noon to two, and I mean, he's right. I don't know that Adam Schefter is a guy that just kind of blindly speculates or you know, spends a lot of time talking about possibilities that he knows ain't going to come true. So the conversation about Rodgers perhaps being upset enough to want to go ahead and try his football future elsewhere means that there's an issue with Matt LaFleur, or at least the decision-making process, or drafting Jordan Love, or maybe a combination of all of it. I don't... Aaron Rodgers is going to be the guy that was just one notch below Tom Brady in my lifetime anyway, right? I mean, he is the GOAT, not the GOAT.
Who's number two behind Brady right now? It's something we were discussing on Friday.
It's Rodgers. I mean, right now, it's Rodgers. It
over,
will be
over,
Mahomes.
Over Manning? Over Manning. So Rodgers is past Manning.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
And I do agree with what you're saying, too, about Mahomes.
Oh, Mahomes will be... Mahomes...
If he
lasts. doesn't get hurt, he's the best quarterback anyone's ever seen, right?
It's like when I was a kid, when I was young and in the 80s, I was very lucky that I had Bulls season tickets before Michael even came to town. My grandfather was an original season ticket holder. Then my uncle took care of the tickets, and my grandfather and I would go to the games. And in the 80s, in 86, 87, everyone was still like, hey, Jordan's a ball hog. And that was the national narrative. He wasn't Magic or Larry. But those who watched Michael every day, even then, mm-hmm. even then young, and he wasn't winning championships like Mahomes is doing now, you saw what you saw there. You're like, this guy is better than those guys. And when he does get on a really good team, he's going to prove that this guy is so damn good. He's three notches above Magic, three notches above Larry. And that's what I think of when I see Mahomes, that no, he does. He's not doing anything 15 years from now. We can't process that. We don't know. To do what Brady did at 43 is incredible. To be in another Super Bowl, to be in 10 Super Bowls to begin with. But if he keeps this up, he will be number one.
And think about what that means for our expectations on Patrick Mahomes. 10 Super Bowls. The only guy to play, and you're going to hear this, like, I don't know, a billion times over the next 2 weeks, but the only guy to go to a title game with both an AFC and NFC team. One of four quarterbacks to play in Super Bowls with two different teams. All of that stuff. And you and I are very comfortable, real comfortable, in looking at Patrick Mahomes and saying, yeah, the trajectory there is to surpass Tom Brady and do it fairly easily.
Like you said, he's playing a different game.
It's
when he turns it on, he's playing a different game. And I think Brady's going to win because Brady only loses the Super Bowls to bad quarterbacks. He only he has three losses, right, in the Super Bowl? Six wins, three losses. It's to Nick Foles and Eli Manning twice, correct?
That's right.
He's going to beat Patrick Mahomes. He beats good quarterbacks
in
the Super
Bowl. I think
this
is the first quarterback he goes down to. Have you looked at the line recently? Because when I saw it last night, it was -3 for the Chiefs. And I thought to myself, I would probably take the Chiefs or double that. That's just where
I
feel
it. Six, okay.
Yeah, I probably, maybe even six in the hook. To be completely honest with you, I it'll be a little interesting to see what situation the Chiefs' offensive line is in. I know. Oh gosh, the left tackle. Fisher, right?
Yeah,
he went
Fisher
down with
went
the ankle.
Out, right. Uh-huh.
That's a problem. The Chiefs have survived. Well, let's be honest. Patrick Mahomes has survived with bad offensive line play before. I think he'd probably do it again. And you know what, Sylvie, amidst all of the conversation you and I have been having about Aaron Rodgers and the decision to, you know, kick the field goal and everything, that game got won by Tampa's defense. They did just yes. enough to make Aaron Rodgers doubt himself on a couple of different plays. Two of them in that situation where he could have taken off and run. The
right,
one where
right.
he threw around Devontae's ankles, and then I think that play where he's not solid in taking off to run the third down play because he's got another fourth down chance and he wasn't sure what he was reading.
In these last 2 weeks, that it's something that we've been searching for with our Bears. That turnover, that the 2018 perfect timing turnover. They got it last week against the Saints with Cook, right?
Mm.
Cook fumbles, and they were put in really good position every time, and Brady cashed in the red zones against the Saints. And then yesterday, that Aaron Jones, you know, that fumble. Like, the defense again, they were very, very good. And will they be able to do that against that Chiefs team? It's very interesting. I want to play you the Schefter, since we alluded to it. This is Adam Schefter on Get Up today. And remember, he was the first one last year at this time to say, hey, don't, and it was, I even think, in October of last year. Keep your eye on this, Brady leaving Belichick. So don't discount this when he talks about Aaron Rodgers' future.
Well, if you listen to the call yesterday, he sounded like a guy who was preparing to walk away from Green Bay. Now, it's the right after the game, Greeny, so it's a highly emotional time. It's a long, trying season for everybody. Everybody's trying to get through it, and clearly Aaron Rodgers, as he himself said, wants to step back and gather some time and take some time to make a decision. But let's just break this down, right? He himself said last week that his future was a beautiful mystery. Those are the words that he used, a beautiful mystery. We know that he was not particularly enthralled with the team's selection of Jordan Love. We know that he's at the point of his career where clearly he's frustrated with these playoff defeats. Now, again, let's get ahead of ourselves. He's under contract to the Green Bay Packers for three more seasons. So they control him for three more seasons. Unless Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to play there anymore. I'm going to retire. I'm going to go rogue here and force my way out of there. And I want to be traded. And I want to be traded, let's just say, to Southern California, where I own a home, 20 minutes from the Rams facility, where I want to be traded to the Bay Area, where my football career started. Now, I'm not telling you that it goes that way. I'm just telling you that was an unusual press conference. There were a lot of emotions, and he has to take some time and step back and figure out what he wants to do. And people think the Packers control him, when in fact, Aaron Rodgers can flip it rather quickly by basically saying, I'm not going to play there, or I'm not going to play anymore, trade me. That would be his option. I'm not telling he's going to that. I'm just telling you there's a lot of different ways this can go during the course of the offseason, but that was a highly emotional loss, and he, I think, wants to step back, clear his head, and figure out what he wants to do going forward.
And remember, when we talk about all these athletes these days, NBA and now into the NFL, the team never controls the player anymore. The player controls his own future.
Which is good, in my estimation.
Sure.
Makes for
you
more...
want out, you must be traded. Khalil Mack, traded. Jalen Ramsey, Black brought up the other day, traded. You know, in the NBA, we see it all the time. Deshaun Watson will probably be traded. If Aaron Rodgers says, look, I'll retire then. I don't want to play for you. Find me a new home. They're going to have to do that.
That makes a lot of teams scrambling for quarterbacks. It's a terrible pun, but I went there anyway. It's a lot of teams that could be shifting quarterback situations in the next offseason.
It's amazing. And the Bears are right in the middle of all of it. Mark in Batavia, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Marky? Let's go to Jack in Lindenhurst. Jack is still there. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Yeah, you guys know so much more about football than I do. So I hesitate to even bring this up. But you both agreed that they shouldn't have used Roger shouldn't have used the timeout to go confer with the coach. So, you know, they had all their timeouts, and they couldn't stop Brady anyway. So, I mean, the whole game they were having a hard time controlling it. So why be so concerned about a timeout?
I think it's good food for thought. Connor's more adamant that you can't use it. Now, if you do use it and you do talk him into running the fourth down play and you score and then you get the 2-point conversion, then that has saved the day by calling one timeout.
Of course.
And how badly do you need it? That, I guess, when we look at it in hindsight, we could say, look, there is a better outcome there. But it's a really good question for a guy who's played in the league or others who know coaches.
At least for me, I look at it from what is the worst possible scenario after you've made this decision? And in that game, it's calling the timeout, not convincing the coach to go for it. Now you've wasted the timeout and you're still kicking the field goal, and that is unacceptable, right? I mean, you cannot have that happen.
Did someone want to jump in there? Okay, I misheard. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Scott. Scott, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, I think Rodgers needs to catch a little bit more for not making that run. His argument of, I thought there was going to be another play. So what? You still run. You're closer to the goal line. You got a better shot at the next time. But more importantly, can you guys help me understand LaFleur's logic of, You know, we knew if we'd probably have to score again with another touchdown, so we'll take the points and stop the team. You got to stop them either way. Why not go for the touchdown and stop them on their 5-yard line and keep them from driving, as opposed to scoring a field goal and then kicking off and getting a touchback and starting on the 20? Or why even take that chance? You have to stop them, so stop them there. Either way, under LaFleur's logic, it took two touchdowns. So why not take two shots at one touchdown? I don't get it.
I'm with you. No. And as one of my buddies texted me too, saying, look, if you're pinning Brady back, you could get a deflection. He's not the most mobile person. What if you get a safety there? There's your 2 points. Like, there's more that could happen with him pinned against the goal line than if you're kicking it deep after the field goal.
Yeah, and you're not making your defense, I don't know, you're not putting your defense in a situation where they have to expect run. And that's not something they've been great at defending all season long. Great, you know, they did a decent enough job of bottling up Leonard Fournette and some of the other run packages that they threw in there. They did completely give up on what was, yeah, that's another thing. That Leonard Fournette touchdown run after Brady hits another third down, that's a man-sized run. I mean, he
playoff Lenny, right?
People.
That's what they're calling it. He calls himself that, right? Playoff Lenny.
Oof.
Isn't that the thing right now?
Print the T-shirts, man.
Yeah,
I think they are.
All right, we've got Waddle's World coming up. Waddle is on vacation this week. That's Connor McKnight, Abdallah, and Black's here having a lot of fun with Waddle's World next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
10 touchdowns. Did I do that right? 10 touchdowns?
Ten touchdowns?
10. 10 touchdowns for Waddle, if you count the playoffs.
And you should. I mean, we should.
Of course you should.
We always value that more. We say Rodgers only won one. That's out of all the stats what we come back to. So we need to give Waddle his 10th touchdown.
And we'll give Waddle a little more credit. First of all, Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, Chicago's bank. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. Props to Tom Waddle. For those that don't remember, before the playoffs started, we did the Super Bowl draft. Tom Waddle has won because he has both the Chiefs and the Bucks.
Oh.
So congrats to Tom Waddle. He has also, I believe, he has officially won Like It, Love It, Just a Taste of It. After the weekend, he is 6 points ahead of me. I'm in second place with 53. Bleck has 46. Sylvie has 40. And even if he goes over and I go 3-0 next week, I would still tie and he would still have the better record, I believe. Yeah, he would. So we can try, and I think I can, you know, we can just go for funsies if you want to over the Super Bowl. But right now, Waddle looks to be the champion.
One of the worst gambling weekends. This was probably the worst gambling weekend I've had since it's been legalized.
No,
and
really,
I've had bad ones.
You hit the under Brady 38.5 passing attempts by 3 passing attempts.
Ooh. I made so many bets this weekend, including the Bulls and the Bills covering, and it was a disaster, complete disaster.
How big were you out there this weekend?
How many units?
Yeah, how many units? More than usual unit
play. A lot of exposure there.
My 2 units are not real big units,
uh-huh.
So therefore I don't bet big units. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
I don't.
I'm very insecure about losing money.
He's not putting a big unit out there.
I don't have a cojones.
So Randy Johnson's not out there in a bet format for you.
No, okay. I'm throwing Mark Burley stuff here. I'm just open to finesse it.
Gets it done.
But I don't. It's okay. I'm more Jamie Moyer. I guess Jamie Moyer got it done too.
Around for a long time.
who's a, like, I'm Frank DiPino. I'm a soft-tossing left-handed, you know,
you are Gilmesh. You are.
Yeah.
You're giving back $14 million because you didn't deserve it in the first place.
Yes. That's who I am gambling.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I'm Carmen sorry to hear that been, it was a tough one.
I used to go to Vegas with Carmen's buddies, and I would sit there. It'd be like 1 in the morning. And we're all, obviously, we've had several drinks, and here I am at the $10 table. What do I do here? Should I double that? And they're looking at me, Sylvie, you're at a $10 table. Make your play. And I'm like, you'd think it's my mortgage up there.
Right. Yeah, no, I get it.
I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it, nor do I like losing
well,
it.
Well, listen, I'm certainly not going to make fun of you about it. That's absolutely not a thing that I'm going to do for the next week.
Thank you.
Won't happen.
After this week, you can.
Absolutely true.
And during commercial breaks to us.
Yes, of course.
Guys, the MLB Players Association has rejected Major League Baseball's proposal for a universal DH and expanded playoffs. The Major League Baseball Players Association has turned down the latest proposal for the universal DH hitter and an expanded playoff format. The union stance has been all along that it did not want to talk about a trade of the universal DH, which benefits a group of players, in return for expanded playoffs. So they would like to vote on them separately and not as together. Just the start of negotiation season before the season starts here, or at least spring training starts here in like a month, less than.
You're the baseball guy, Connor. Yeah. Break this down for us.
This is a dance recital, and it's just getting started. I mean, this is positioning. There's going to be a lot of back and forth, a lot of what have yous. Once baseball as an entity decided to expand the playoffs about an hour into the first game last season, all bets were off for me. I can't give you hard and fast rules for when this has to happen and that has to happen in this pandemic age. And I guess in baseball's defense, that's okay. Like with expanding the playoffs last year, right move. You know, everything was weird, everything was strange. It's the right play. I'm not for more expanded playoffs. I like my playoffs just fine. I don't think the incentive to add on and become a better ball club is going to be there the way I'd like it to be, the way I want teams to go ahead and win ball games with those extra playoff spots available. I think teams are really look at the NL Central. I think teams are happy to just throw an expected 88-win team out there and see what happens. And that'll be just fine. We'll make our playoff spot and move on. I'm not thrilled with the players' union being so reticent to take the universal DH, but I do understand that this has been their position from the get-go. We move on this. We move on a lot of things.
Right.
You know, I get the
they want to say yes to this when they cave on a little more baseball,
yeah.
Right?
I think that's what it is.
So let me ask you this. While we're going to dance and we're going to hear a lot of arguing during the dance, make some bets. Both down some predictions. We'll get you down here early with
okay.
a few predictions.
Right. Okay.
Will spring training start on time?
Yeah, I think it will.
Oh.
I think it will. Now, obviously, you can't hold me to this if there is an explosion of COVID cases in either Maricopa County or in Florida. That's not on me, and focus should be elsewhere if that's what happens, obviously.
Right.
But I think if our trends, our national trends with vaccinations, with numbers and whatnot, keep the way they seem to keep, then I think, yeah, I think we're starting on time.
So the season is on time then, too. Not only are we reporting on time unless COVID derails it, the regular season opening day will start on time.
I think that's right. I don't know that everybody's on board with that plan right now, but I think the forces at work here are pushing pretty hard to get things started on time.
When the dance ends, will there be a designated hitter in the National League?
I would have told you yes 48 hours ago. And now with I guess it's a good job by Major League Baseball linking these things together and creating a one-for-one trade the way they have in public perception, right? This idea that, well, we'll give you the DH, you give us expanded playoffs. We don't even know, Sylvie, if it's actually a one-for-one thing. That's just the way it's out there now. I don't think the National League gets a DH for 2021.
Wow. I hope I'm wrong.
Believe me.
And I don't like that.
I'm
and I'm a National League guy. I like a designated hitter.
So do I.
There were times I liked the pitcher hitting, and I used to argue the other way for many, many years. But the older I've got, I just say, why not? Let's let nine hitters bat and let's go.
Pitchers hitting is a novelty, and you can't have Bartolo Colon knocking a home run every time up there. It's not fun that way. And if he was hitting a home run every time, it wouldn't be fun anymore. It'd just be a fat guy hitting home runs.
All right, good. We got you down with some predictions here early.
Feel good about it.
Speaking of Maricopa County, the Cactus League cities have said it would be wise to delay spring trainings. All eight cities that host spring training games in Arizona signed a letter saying that the COVID-19 pandemic in Maricopa County, which has one of the highest infection rates in the country, should cause MLB to delay teams reporting there. It was signed by the executive director of the Cactus League and city managers or mayors of eight cities. A total of 15 teams train in Arizona during the spring.
But isn't there a conspiracy theory out there that these teams with their rich owners that have located there with their big spring training homes have gotten them to write this for them to give them a little more power of not reporting on time?
There's definitely the theory out there that that's not on the level. I don't want to play, you know, politics or anything necessarily, but what now is making Maricopa County react this way if in the past they hadn't?
Right.
You know what I mean? Just look at trends and forces here. If something now changes the way you had been conducting business, what is that trend and force that has altered the path, right? I think that's a fair question to ask regardless. I mean, it's no secret that Maricopa County derives a ton of its income for both private business owners and you know, public trust stuff from spring training. Lots of people. My spring training trip, Sylvie, is one of my favorite things I do.
Me too. I'm a Scottsdale guy,
I love going down there. The fall league is even better. The Arizona Fall League. But now that they changed that so it's not in the fall, you can't do that anymore. Spring training is great. I love that trip. But anybody who's a baseball fan should, if they can, carve out a spring break and take the kids down and go see a couple of games. It's so much fun. But I think you have to say, okay, what's honest here, what's not, what helps, who benefits, all those kinds of things. And I think in a negotiation like this between the union and the league, I don't know that everybody's going to be on the level. That's just the way negotiations work, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we know it gets ugly in baseball, more so than some of the other sports. Abdallah, you have anything else here in this portion?
Yeah, did that stream I sent you work? Did you watch a little MMA fight that found its way on the internet?
A little Periscope stream?
Well, that wasn't a Periscope stream. Oh.
It was some UFC thing, and I tried eight times. Eight times, I kid you not. Over and over, and I kept getting to one screen, but it wouldn't materialize. Mm. It was a black screen and no Conor McGregor on my screen. Mm-hmm. There was another bet. I had Conor McGregor plus 100. And then here's what I did too, guys. Not that anyone cares, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Doug Kazarian, sprinkle a little because he was such an underdog on the guy who beat Conor McGregor, Poirier. And that's what I call him, the guy that beat Conor McGregor.
Doesn't get a name.
Dustin Poirier, yeah.
That sprinkle a little on him in rounds 3, 4, and 5. So not only did I have Conor McGregor at plus 100, I sprinkled a little in rounds 3, 4, and 5, and wouldn't you know, he wins in round 2. I had almost everything covered. It was almost a can't lose.
Are you guys is the show pro UFC? Are you guys fight fans?
I'm a fight fan.
You're a fight fan. Like I'm fights of all kinds.
Yes.
Sylvie's a fight fan, but not that you don't know anything. I mean, it's two dudes fighting each other. They're punching each other in the face. What is there to know? I understand that there's like, we got to know grappling, you got to know technique. But you just like watching two dudes punch each other in the face. There's nothing wrong with that.
I love, like, probably my fifth hobby. If I would go down the hobbies, 1, 2, 3, 4. When I got to 5, it is watching fights on the internet. Whenever there's something going on, two guys in a grocery store arguing and fighting over a mask, click, I'm in. If there's two guys fighting over here in Miami in a backyard, the way things started back in the day, who was that?
Kimbo Slice, baby.
Yes, Kimbo Slice. I'm in for it. And then I go down the rabbit hole. And then here, if you like that one, here's a suggested video. I'm in there, too. I usually like, though, some good road rage fights.
There are darker YouTube rabbit holes, so I guess I should be glad that this is the one you're in.
Really?
Yeah. No, it gets so much worse.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad you're keeping it just in the fight game.
Yeah, I'm usually on Twitter when someone tweets out something. But I do enjoy it because I was the guy who never fought. I knew my situation where I couldn't fight, couldn't do anything.
Have you been in one, though? Like, have you found yourself in the unfortunate situation of being in a fight?
Not really, yeah. No. I knew, awareness. Like, what am I going to do?
Well, sometimes you don't pick the fight. Sometimes the fight picks you.
It does, and then you run.
Yeah, well.
Then you run like hell.
You try.
Or you have bigger friends. Or like Waddle would do. We're a show where we don't fight. Waddle runs. His trick in the Boston College days was he runs to the bar while everyone's around getting in the fight and grabs free drinks from people who put their drinks on the bar.
That's enterprising. That is that's smart. That's looking out is what it is.
You know it.
Anyway, McGregor wants a third fight with Poirier.
I saw him. He said that when they hugged, and after the fight, I saw him in a nice suit say that he wants to do it again.
That was their second fight?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was years ago, their first one.
And I assume Poirier went down since we didn't know his name leading to this one?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. But he's gotten better since.
Clearly.
He's a guy who's been around for a while. Poirier, I'm telling you, we should do Sylvie's. We should do Puck Dalla and Black. What is your nickname for hockey?
Blue Line Black. Come on.
It's Blue Line Black and Puck Dalla breaking down hockey. And then Sylvie should have the UFC Minute.
Sylvie's MMA Minute.
Wait, I need to record. The big news happening.
Sylvie in the cage.
In the octagon with Sylvie.
All right, weird stuff next.
All right. The 3 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie, which has been fantastic, by the way, is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
They don't teach you that in broadcasting school, do they?
I turned into Waddle there for a minute. I've taken through this whole stuff at home.
Stretch!
I've taken great pride. Being a pro, a pro's pro, having everything in front of me, having everything ready to go. Connor comes in, doesn't know me, and I'm like, it's been such a great 3 o'clock hour, and it's brought to you by Xfinity X5.
What's the work from home been like for you? You been good? You been like, you know, kind of figuring out the feng shui and everything? How long did it take?
I love dressing. Dressing home garb the whole time, the loungewear.
Yeah.
Joggers every day, hooded sweatshirts every day.
Sure.
I'm sick of everybody, though, quite frankly. Nobody was more excited to be a dad than me, and I love it. I need to get the hell out of here. I need to get the hell out of here. I can't wait. I can't wait to get vaccinated. I can't wait for my white blood cell count to go up. So I can just wear a mask and get out of here.
Where is buying you a bubble on the list of things we could spend money on at this station? Because if you need out, let's get you out of the house.
The Flaming Lips did that concert recently where normally if you're a fan of the Flaming Lips, the thing is the lead singer will, during the show, go into one of these gigantic bubbles. It looks like he's inside a hamster wheel. And he will crowd surf and walk across the crowd. So because of the pandemic, they bought a bunch of those and had each fan in one of these bubbles. We could get you one of these, Sylvie, and you could just walk down the street in this bubble.
Those look fun. Yes. Bubble Boy. I'd be happy to be Bubble Boy. Have you seen Like at some of the NBA games, don't they usually like wrestle with, like one bubble goes into the other bubble and they push each other around the court with it? I think that would be fun.
We could do that. We could do like human bowling with Sylvie. We could have a contest where people get to push you down, you know, whatever street they're feeling like.
Get a
probably
sponsor.
Not Western. That's a little long, but something a little shorter, like, I don't know, Levitt or Breyer, you know, something a little tighter.
Get a sponsor. We're pissed at Sylvie today. You get to push Sylvie into traffic today. Who's in? It's brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Sylvie is flattened by a truck right now, but he had that one coming.
I think this is doable.
Aaron Rodgers' take. Yeah.
I think this is very doable.
I'm with you. However we can, and I do have something, too, coming up. After, what do we have, Florida or Ohio?
I got a headline and then Florida, Ohio for you.
Okay, what do we got here?
So the headline real quick, and I'll do what Waddle does, and you guys can go look it up if you want to. Australian woman stunned by strange man pooping in her neighbor's yard. You want more?
That would be a stunner. I mean, but this has been during life and during Waddle's world where people just love to poop in people's yards. It's a bigger thing than we ever thought it would be.
Is that right?
Yes.
We're learning this?
We've learned it.
We've learned this.
Teaching you.
I prepped a long time for this show. I was not prepped for that.
Oh, it is. Yes, yes. There was one time, one of the famous stories is, I think a high school principal used to go poop on a rival's other high school football field.
And he got fired because they caught him in the act.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This goes on way more than you know, Connor.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, that is alarming. I think it's true. I think it definitely happens. I'm not calling any one of you liars at this point.
I don't know if I could. Like, I don't know if I could just be like, all right, unless I absolutely had to go, unless this was an emergency situation.
You had to go.
You think that's how it starts, though?
I don't think I could drop in.
You figure that's how it starts, though, right? I mean, you think that high school principal was like, you know what I'm going to do? He was probably just walking by, thinking about setting fire to the high school rival football field, like you do. He's like, oh, man, I kind of got to go. This is kind of my time.
Then he goes.
And then you become more comfortable with it as it goes. You're like,
sure.
Oh, if I did it that time, I could do it again.
You bargain with yourself a little bit. You tell yourself that other principals are doing worse things, and you know it.
New Trier. Mm. What do you think about that?
Huh?
Wake Forest High School.
It's so much worse over there. This is what I'm doing is a favor for them.
All right, let's play a game.
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals, random stabbings, or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
All right, pretty self-explanatory here, Connor. I'm going to read you a story. You tell me Florida or Ohio.
Okay.
You can get specific if you want to, or you can just name the state.
Do like a John King, give you the county?
Yeah, you can if you want to. Man armed with twisted tea threatens former employer.
Okay.
Let's make one thing clear. When you threaten your former employer with a deadly weapon, you get arrested. Shane Gillis is accused of threatening to injure his ex-employer. When police arrived, they overheard him tell the victim that he had something for them and was on his way. He was holding a twisted tea can with his right hand and was considered using it as a deadly weapon. I don't know how, but he kept his hand behind his back that was clutching the twisted tea. Police arrived and promptly arrested him, confiscating the twisted tea.
It's too cold in Ohio to be rocking twisted teas.
It's not twisted tea season. I was thinking the same thing.
You're on it, man. It's like Columbo. And it's just one more thing. It's Florida. That's Florida.
I'm going to go Florida as well. That while twisted tea is good any time of year, you're more likely to drink it in Florida this time
of
year.
Play the odds.
I'm with both of you, Florida.
Charlotte County, Florida.
Nice. There you go. Florida. Good job, Connor. Not easy to do stepping in the first show and getting a W. You did that.
Don't eat it
like Jameis. all right, coming back in 2 minutes. ESPN 1000 stepped up in one regard.